Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, as always, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. We've been pretty busy, so that's why we've had a bit more of a gap, like the last episode. But yeah. We're happy to be back here and to jump into some of the baseball things that have been going on. And there's been a lot, so we have a good deal to talk about.
Yes, we do. It seems like we are always busy with something. Our schedules are never aligned well with life.
And I always, I've been telling people, like, especially since you moved here, we're roommates, if you guys aren't aware, that now that we're roommates, it's easier to schedule episodes to do a podcast, but we've still been pretty sparse.
What
episodes we've been able to get out.
Yeah. And many of you know that are more active listeners, Kev goes to bed early. I go to bed late. Kev wakes up early. I wake up at 8 o'clock. Like, it's just getting to make sure that the timing of everything on a podcast is on the right time where we're both awake and both like prepared. It's rare. So, but we are here and we have a lot to talk about in terms of free agency. Since we have last recorded, there have been some big free agent signings and also some trades that we are going to go through. So we're going to go through all of those trades. And then at the very end, we're kind of going to give you, because it's the Christmas season, you know, Kevin and I are excited for Christmas coming along and, you know, we're going to get presents. But what are our teams going to get us for Christmas? That's what we're curious about. And so we're going to list what we want our teams, our Christmas wish list for our teams, basically, within realistic terms. You know, we're not going to wish for everything because we just can't, you know, because we haven't been that good of, we haven't, not on the good list or anything. Maybe we're still on the okay list.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But why don't we start off with, which I think was the first kind of like big free agent signing, even though it wasn't a huge signing. It was just surprising that the Angels started off signing Kikuchi to a 3-year deal. Like, what? Why are the Angels? Like, I don't know what the Angels do. I really don't.
It seems like they come and go with regards to signing. So it's like they could be super aggressive sometimes. So if you remember the 1 year where they signed, you know, Josh Hamilton and Pujols, and they really tried to put an all-star team together. And then, you know, a couple of years ago with Rendon.
Yeah.
They had these spurts, which almost never work out.
Yeah.
So I hope it works out for them, but yeah. I'm still skeptical because it's the Angels.
Yeah, I just didn't understand why. I mean, Kikuchi definitely went there for the money. There's nobody. He got 3 years, like 40-something million dollars with it. But I don't know what the Angels are doing. Like, I'm not sure if they're like trying to just to put fans in seats or something like that. But you have Trout, who's aging out, as sad it is to say.
Yeah.
But they also signed Travis d'Arnaud as a backup catcher to the Phil. Oh gosh, what's the Phillies? The Phillies traded the catcher. Who's the catcher for the Angels? Phillies traded him. Oh man, I can't remember his name. Give me a second.
Well, did you hear about some of the perks that Kikuchi's going to be getting with his deal with the Angels?
Oh man, what is it? Is he tax free?
So, well, I mean, he's getting some nice deals with it. So, first of all, it's $21 million over 3 years, like $21 million each year. So, it's a $63 million contract.
Oh, 3 years, 63? Yeah, no wonder he went to the Angels.
But he also gets a trainer, which is $100,000, a $75,000 interpreter. And 5 business class tickets from Japan to the United States, not exceeding $10,000 per ticket per year.
That's a pretty good contract. Wow. His agent. Holy crap.
That's in the contract. He's not paying that out of pocket. Yeah, that's included in his deal.
Yeah. I mean, obviously with the taxes in California, he's not saying all that $63 million. He might see like 40 of all that, but that's still a fantastic deal for him. Who's been a decent pitcher, $20 million a year. That's a pretty good deal for a non-all-star pitcher.
Yeah.
Logan Ohapi. that's who the catcher is. Yes. For, but they also signed Travis d'Arnaud, to which I was surprised. I thought d'Arnaud would have stayed with the Braves. I thought, you know, the Braves kind of core would stay together for as long as it can, but it seems like it's slowly fading out with Max Fried also signing with the Yankees.
A 7-year, $18 million dollar deal. Which, I mean, we'll get to this, but I like the signing. It's another addition to the rotation, and it was a move that they made in light of another signing, which we're about to get to.
Yeah,
as well.
I like the Max Fried signing a lot. Mm-hmm. I think, well, also because he's not in the Phillies division anymore.
Yes.
But also, I think the Yankees needed just another starter that they could rely on. Yes. For a good 20-25 quality starts of a year. You know, Cortez was struggling with some stuff. They had Heel, who was Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
But Clark Schmidt was off and on, and he was hurt. Yeah. So they needed some more stability. And Gerrit Cole didn't come up till the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of just up and down with that rotation. So this adds a little more stability and has some relief on that bullpen, which got taxed a lot. Yes. Last year.
Yeah, absolutely. It adds some length to that. To the starting rotation, because like you said, especially down the stretch, the bullpen was coming in the fourth or fifth inning in the postseason almost every game.
Yeah.
And they were so tired. They did a great job that they were beat after that. And you know, because the starting rotation has so many starting pitchers in it now.
Yeah.
Nestor's not there anymore.
Yeah. Oh.
He got traded to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
For Devin Williams, which fills another need in the Yankees bullpen because they lost Clay Holmes to the Mets.
Yeah. Who they're going to make a starting pitcher.
Who they're going to make. Yeah.
I don't understand the metrics behind this. Well, I really don't.
It's weird to me because usually I feel like with relievers or starting pitchers, it's the other way around. They start as starting pitchers.
Yeah.
It's like Smoltz, right? Smoltz started as a starting pitcher before he became a reliever.
Mm-hmm.
The only person I could think of that was a reliever and they made a starting pitcher off the top of my head was Jabba Chamberlain. He started as a reliever.
That didn't work out, though.
It didn't work out all that great. They should have really kept him in the bullpen. I feel like Girardi really messed with him.
Yeah.
Trying to move him to the starting rotation. I think even Mariano was like a longer relief guy to start. He wasn't a closer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So Cortez got traded to the Brewers. You got Devin Williams. I think Devin Williams is a fantastic trade for the Yankees. Obviously, he ended Milwaukee on a terrible note because he was tipping his pitches to the Mets. And the Mets basically had that little magical run that they had where Alonso hit the home run off him. Hopefully that didn't break him. That's what I'm a little bit worried about because closers, they're a little bit, once they're broken, they're hard to fix. Yeah. Very, very hard to fix.
Yeah.
But Devin Williams has some nasty stuff, and he's also fairly cheap right now for, I think you have him for 2 years, I think, before he becomes a free agent, 2 or 3 years before he becomes a free agent.
Yeah.
I think he'll do well. The only thing that I don't like about that trade is that Devin Williams will have to shave his beard because he has a nice beard. And I don't think that he's going to look good without that beard. I don't think it's going to work well. That's another thing. The Yankees got to change that. They got to change that rule.
They're not going to.
It's so dumb. They'll do, oh, we're a stand-up organization. We're going to stick to our guns with everything. Oh, but we're going to put an ad on our left shoulder anyway.
Everybody's got to do that.
Not everyone yet. Not everyone yet. But some people. Some teams, most teams. Yes. So that Max Fried signing was kind of was it the day after?
It was the day after or 2 days after the big signing.
The big signing that everyone in the entire baseball world was waiting for, and teams were disappointed, and this guy was definitely overpaid in my opinion. Even though he's 26 years old, or will be 26 this coming season, Juan Soto got 15 years, $765 million with no opt-outs, with a $75 million signing bonus.
Yes.
That is completely absurd that he got that much money. He is, sorry, I'm gonna state this. I think Juan Soto is a fantastic player. I think he's one of the best hitters of our generation. But to say that he gets more money than Ohtani in terms of over the course, obviously it's you know, it's 15 years over you know, so he's getting paid $51 million a year, and he does have an opt out. I'm sorry, there's one opt out after the fifth year, I believe.
He's got a club option between 2030 and 2039.
Yeah, he can opt out, but the Mets can opt in to that contract if they want to pay him $4 million more. So it'd be $55 million, which would make it an $800 million deal.
Yes.
That is a complete overpay. Scott Boras played Steve Cohen a lot. Like, Steve Cohen obviously paid that much money, but Juan Soto has never won MVP. He's a defensive liability. The only thing that he's good at is hitting. He's a one-dimensional player. He's not fast. He's going to be a DH within 5 to 6 years. And he's going to be a fantastic hitter in that ballpark. Like, he's a great hitter, opposite field, on-base percentage. Like, he has that. But I do not think that he's worth that much money. I saw a comparison. If Mike Trout hit the open market in today's market, he'd probably get $1 billion. Probably, just because of if he was Soto's age, with how much ability he had, he'd probably get close to $1 billion. I think, because he's a five tool player.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's an insane contract, and I don't think it'll be very long before we see a $1 billion baseball player contract, unless they install some sort of cap, which they're never gonna do.
Yeah.
The players' unions are very strong in Major League Baseball, as they are in sports in general, but particularly in baseball, I feel like it's extra.
Yeah.
They have extra control. Yankees tried. They gave him like 750, I think. For 14 years. So they really were throwing the kitchen sink at him. It's not like Cashman didn't try.
Yeah.
But it came down to the money.
Yeah.
And a part of me was thinking, you know, my first reaction was like, oh, man, this really stinks. Because it felt like Juan Soto would really fit in a Yankees uniform in that ballpark. He was really playing up to the fans. You know, the fans were in love with him. He came up so clutch in the ALCS and the World Series. And then he bolts town to go to their rivals in Queens. But, I mean, the little more I think about it, it does give the Yankees opportunity to sign other players that would complete them more than Juan Soto would. Juan Soto helps, but he can't solve every problem that the Yankees have right now. I think them being able to get Freed, bringing in Devin Williams, may get an extra signing from, you know, Alonso or like another outfielder, would probably help this team better in the long run than just signing Soto and dumping all their money into him. But another part of me is also thinking about how the Yankees just aren't that special to sign with anymore.
I agree.
The prestige has lost its luster. That was one of my other things I was thinking about too with the Soto signing, because you always, when you talk about the Yankees, it's like, oh, the tradition, the winning, the championships, that doesn't matter in this game anymore. I mean, one, because the Yankees haven't won in a while, so it's not there. But also, it's just, parity has, you know, allowed more opportunity for other teams to get in on the big players, and they pay out comparably to the Yankees now. And the Mets outpaid the Yankees. That's insane for me to think about.
Yeah,
that wasn't unfathomable for me to think about years ago.
Yeah,
but the Mets are showing that, you know, they're serious. Whether it plays out for them or not, we'll wait and see, because maybe it'll turn out to be like a Scherzer Verlander type of situation.
Yeah.
When Cohen went really hard in on them, and then they were both gone by the end of the year, pretty much.
Yep.
So I don't think that's going to happen with Soto. But, yeah, it's stunning in the moment. But I think, you know, as I took a couple of days to think about it, I do see how it may be better in the long run for the Yankees to just let him go.
Yeah. There were a couple things that came up in the news that I want to take with a grain of salt. for like what the reason why Soto didn't re-sign with the Yankees, because if it's similar money.
Yeah.
So there was the rumor that apparently Soto had like an altercation or a disagreement with security and wouldn't allow his family in the suite or something like that. There was a security guard that happened like one or two times with. If that's the case, that security, like if Soto needs to bring that up like to the Yankees management type thing. Like if that's the case, if he just saw that and was like, yeah, all right, fine, I'm never like, I'm just going to forget about this or like, or hold a grudge to it. It seems a little bit weird, especially yeah. with a caliber of player he is. Like, he'd be like, hey, like I was just trying to bring my family. Can we just figure this out type thing?
Yeah.
If the Yankees actually were like, yeah, no, we can't do that, then like that's a problem.
Well, I don't see why they yes, wouldn't acquiesce to that.
I agree.
Yeah.
But that's just something that came up in the news.
Is it because they included a suite for his family in the deal with the Mets?
They did. And apparently, I'm not sure if the Yankees were not willing to do that with Soto.
They weren't.
Yeah.
No.
So that's, you know, that's, family's a big important thing.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, because he's from, is he from the DR? I believe he's from, I think he's from the Dominican Republic.
He's from the DR.
Yeah. So that's a big thing. If his family's not in the United States, if visiting, you know, like being able to stay in a suite instead of just in the fans in the stadium, because that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Another part of it is just like the Yankees shutting down in communication with Soto, like Judge not talking to him, other baseball players just, you know, quote unquote, letting him do his thing.
Yeah.
I think that made a difference too.
Yeah.
Just like not having that talk and being able to build a rapport, I think affected his decision, because maybe in the back of his mind, it's like, well, maybe they don't care if I leave or not.
Yeah.
If they don't talk to me.
Yeah. I think I heard that Judge didn't want to talk to him, in the sense that, not that because he was unfriendly, but because right. he's like, because he went through it the previous year,
yeah.
and he just wanted Soto to do his thing.
Yeah.
And kind of just like, hey, this is your thing. You do what you need to do. Obviously, I feel like Judge should have said something like, hey, we want you here.
Yeah.
Even if he said it publicly.
Yeah.
Like obviously, you know, he says to like a fan or like an interview or something like, yeah, of course I want Juan Soto. But like, I don't know what the tampering or whatever rules are. But I'm sure that if you and I were, I mean, I think it's different because you and I are best friends. But, you know, if I was wanting to play with a player, and I knew that he would want to go possibly somewhere else, I'd be like, hey, obviously I want you to do the best for you and what you think is best, but obviously I would love to play with you for a long period of time for the rest of my career, because that's what it's going to be.
I feel like players say that a lot, though. It's like, you know, they would say, like, you know, I would hate if you left, but we would really love for you to stay, kind of.
Yeah.
Language.
Yeah. I think the Yankees... I mean, we don't know what the Mets did either, because we don't know. I'm sure. I know Lindor and him are friends.
Yeah,
are good friends. So that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some speculation about other things that probably aren't have any weight to it, but it just felt like he wanted to be a Met.
Yeah,
and the money was there. He doesn't have to relocate after being with the Yankees. Pretty much, it's just. It's a shame because I hate the Mets, so...
He's back in your division.
Yeah, he's back in my division. But at the same time, I also feel like... I mean, obviously, I couldn't eat my own words if this, but I just don't think it's going to age well. His game will age well in terms of hitting, but I could see, you know, in like, you know, turning into like a Pujols once he gets like past 32 type thing, where he just cannot run.
Well, his fielding hasn't always been his top thing. He made some mistakes in the field as a Yankee that I saw.
Yeah.
It's the hitting. It's the bat that he's making the money for.
Yeah. So a good, you know, I would say he's 20, he's going to be 26. So a good 5-6 years where he's going to have, where he's going to be probably a really good player.
Yeah.
But then his game does not translate well to be like an athletic guy in the moving forward with it. So I think it's an overpay. I think most people would agree that it's an overpay. I thought he probably gets $600 million, which I thought was an overpay, but that was what I thought might be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Cohen really kind of started it off with the rumor that he started off with like $640 million. I was like, that's a starting offer? Like, that's absurd.
He's like a new Steinbrenner,
yeah.
George Steinbrenner. the one who would be aggressive and go after players and pay really big bucks and do no matter what to get his team to win.
Yeah. But this almost seems like a child playing with money type thing. Obviously, he's rich. He's loaded. It's his money. Good for him. But it almost seems like he's like, I don't care about this at all. Like, I just want the player. And obviously, probably for marketing purposes, he's gonna have the return on investment fairly soon. But that's a lot of money to invest with one player.
Well, he's newish to it as well, so I'm sure he's gonna, like, you know, as he goes through the motions as an owner, he's gonna, like, yeah, learn, you know, oh, this worked, this didn't work, kind yeah of thing.
Also, with the Mets, they kind of hit that magical run. They don't have the starting pitching to really hold up.
They don't.
Like, they...
The power's in the lineup.
They'll get... but Alonso's gone, possibly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that the Mets are necessarily a scary team. Like, I don't view them and be like, oh, man. Like, they install a lot of fear in me. They have Soto and Lindor. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all I... Like, Mark Vientos, like, yeah, he had a good first or second year with the team. Like... Brandon Nimmo doesn't scare me, really. Marte's getting older. Jeff McNeil's getting older. Edwin Diaz is getting older for pitching. He's up and down. I just don't see the Mets as someone that, like, strikes fear into me. You know, they could go and they can go and sign Corbin Burns or something like that. Then I'd be like, all right, crap.
I feel like their pitching in general needs some help. Like, yeah, not just their starting pitching. Their bullpen fell off in the second half of the year. It wasn't yeah very good.
Yeah. They have Clay Holmes, Senga. Do they still have Manaea? Or did Manaea... No, I think Manaea... They signed a one-year deal. Manaea might be on a two-year deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they traded for... what's his name? Is the pitcher, former pitcher for the White Sox, lefty, Quintana.
Yeah.
I just think they hit that magical run where everything was just starting to work for them. I think that they're going to be good? Yeah, they're probably going to be a good team. They have Juan Soto, they have Lindor, but I don't think they're going to be, like, things went right for them last year. It's not like where they were the Phillies, where things kind of just, like, things were right, but they had a lot of talent. Like, I think the Phillies still have more talent than the Mets, but yeah, we'll see.
That's the key word. I mean, I feel like the last couple of years, the Phillies have always had the talent. They just haven't been able to put it together for some reason.
Yep. Yeah. There's a lot of things with yeah it. But that's with Juan Soto. I mean, we'd love to hear your thoughts on it. I know that we put out a poll on Instagram. Everyone said he was overpaid on that contract, yeah, which is not a surprise with it. I was upset originally when he went to the Mets. But it's like sinking in, I'm like, all right, he's one player. Like, he's going to be a great player. Mm-hmm. But, if they lose Alonso, like, basically that production gets, like, it's almost like 1.5 players in my opinion. Like, the war that, I mean, Soto doesn't have a great defense. Alonso plays first base. You know, it's a give and take with it. But, yeah, so what's the next signing that we can talk about? Adamas? Well, oh, you want to talk? Sorry.
No, we can talk about Adamas.
Okay, no, what were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say I'm glad that they at least got one White Sox pitcher I was hoping they weren't going to get, and that was Crochet.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he did go to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So that he was traded to the Red Sox.
That was a drastic overpay by the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Drastic overpay. They traded two top 100 prospects for Crochet, who Crochet's a good pitcher. Yeah. But I feel like when you trade two top 100 prospects, you're going to get like an all-star pitcher that is like a two-time all-star or plus. But Crochet has already had Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm.
He's under contract through 2026, by the way.
So 2 years.
Yes.
That's a drastic overpay.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That just doesn't make sense to me. Like, especially with the Red Sox, like, I don't know. They obviously have to regain some loyalty or, like, some stuff with their fans since the Mookie Betts trade.
Yeah.
All right. Here is Crochet's career numbers. Like, he's never had an ERA below 3.5. Like, that's just, and now he's going to play in Fenway as a lefty. So, yeah, right-handed hitters. Like, that just doesn't pan well for him. Like, he has the strikeout stuff, He was an all-star last year, but that's because he played for the White Sox. The White Sox, he was 6-12 with a 3.5 ERA. He was good, but he's not great. Like, I wanted the Phillies to go get Crochet, but if they had to give up two big prospects for it, I would be like, no, not for 2 years. And this is also the guy that said he wouldn't, at the beginning of the trade deadline last year, hey, I'm not going to be traded to anyone unless I sign an extension. It's a great attitude to make when you just want to go play for a team that won a World Series. Yeah. I think the Red Sox can be stuck with him. He's probably going to be fine. He's a good pitcher, but it was an overpay for what that trade was.
He said it was a relief when he finally got traded.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure that. Yeah, I think it's good for him. Like, in terms of like win now stuff, Red Sox, like, they needed some pitching. That's good.
And they needed to make a move. Yeah. Like you said, ever since the Betts trade, they just have not been a good team. And I think they've been aggressive this offseason. They were even the Soto talks, like, with rumors.
Yeah.
Like, trying to sign him. So they need that extra spark, and maybe Crochet is a little bit of a start.
Yeah. I could see.
To get them going in the right direction.
Yeah. Now, since we're going to stay on the Red Sox, I want to bring up Arenado, because Red Sox were on his list for his no trade clause that he would list as a possible destination he would go to. The Red Sox were rumored to possibly move Devers to first base, and also Arenado has said that he would move to first base. That was someone that I could see the Red Sox going and splurging on. A right-handed hitter that can do well with the monster right there. Gold glove. Like, I feel like Arenado would fit well with the Red Sox. Type of, like, add that veteran leadership with it. I just see Arenado. I would not mind if Arenado went to the Red Sox. Like, as me,
I would.
I know you would. With Arenado being one of my favorite players of all time, I would not mind if I want the Phillies to go after him.
He's on their list.
I know he's on their list. We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
And so are the Angels for some reason.
Yeah. What the heck, Nolan? What are you thinking, dude? Like, I wanted. Like, I remember seeing some tweets. Like, it was all everyone's listed, and we're like, and then the Angels were the last one, and everyone's like, wait, what? Why? What purpose?
Kikuchi?
No, like I know he played.
I don't know.
I know he played with Trout on the USA team. I don't know if he likes Trout or something like that, or he's from California. I think he's from California. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't see a reason why he would go to the Angels, especially with Rendon. Well, he doesn't play anyway, so.
I heard the Astros might be contenders for Arenado.
That would be
well.
The worst.
That would be the worst.
That would be the worst. Yeah. The Mets and the Astros were on his list to be able that he would be.
He's not on the no trade clause list.
No, I'm not saying no teams that. So the card. What I'm saying is that he would accept a trade to these teams.
Yeah,
because the Cardinals said that they're going to do everything in their power to trade him, mm-hmm. and he's like, all right, I would accept the trade to these teams.
Yes,
so it's six teams, then. I don't like six of them, four of them, because they were the Dodgers, Red Sox, Yankees.
Yankees
no,
aren't
no, that's
on
right.
there.
Dodgers, Red Sox, Phillies, Astros.
Astros aren't on
they
there.
They aren't
either.
There?
No. But the Astros are still pushing for it.
Oh, I'm glad that. All right, yeah, that would be the worst if he's just like, all right, whatever, I'll go to the Astros. No. No, and you can have some dignity.
Yeah. It's the Dodgers, Padres, Angels, Phillies, Mets, and Red Sox.
Padres, yeah. Yeah, I don't like that. Don't like that, no. Also, the Padres are open to trading Arise, Bogarts, and someone else. I was like, and Dylan Cease. I'm like, what? I don't understand. Yeah. Obviously, they're trying to trade Bogarts because they think that contract's not going to work out. But why trade Arise and Dylan Cease? Like, Dylan Cease can be your future starting pitcher for a long time. Yeah. Like, I know you have to give him money, but like I don't understand.
Oh,
like,
no.
Yeah, like, you trade some prospects for him. Dylan Cease is a good pitcher.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the I think I said that last offseason. I'm like, I don't understand what the Padres are doing. Like, I know they're trying to get some money off the table because they paid Tatis and Machado, and who else did they pay? That's it. That's pretty much all they have some other smaller, like, mid-tier contracts, but I was just surprised when I heard that news with them willing to trade Arise, especially after they acquired two of those guys last offseason and mid-season. Mm-hmm. I just, that doesn't make sense. Sticking in the NL West, let's talk about Willy Adames signing the biggest contract in Giants history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a terrible deal for the Giants.
I would agree. I don't think he's for that ballpark.
No. He went to Milwaukee and killed.
Yeah.
Like he's played more. You went to Christian Yelich went to Milwaukee and had an MVP season. Yeah. That stadium's hitter's ballpark.
Yeah.
Oracle Park, whatever it's called. It used to be not Safeco. It used to be AT&T.
Yeah.
I hate how they keep changing the names. That ballpark does not play well for his game.
No.
At all. He is not that type of power hitter that can just, like Aaron Judge, where it doesn't matter what ballpark he's in. Willie Adames hit 32 home runs or whatever it was. Was it 32?
32, 112 RBIs.
Yeah, he hit 32 because he played at American Family Field. God, this terrible team names. I just want to call it Miller Park. He hit that amount of home runs because he played in that ballpark.
Yes.
He's going to hit probably 20 to 25 max at that playing in that ballpark. It's just not going to work out for him.
Yeah, and $182 million over 7 years.
For a shortstop that's not a great defensive player, he's an okay defensive player. Like, I liked him with the Tampa Bay Rays, and I liked him with the Brewers. Yeah. I liked he's got a personality. He's a fun player.
Yeah.
He's not worth $182 million.
No.
No, I don't see that at all. And I know the Brewers couldn't pay it. Even they could, but they didn't want to.
Yeah.
Because that's just not their mentality. And this is Buster Posey's first big move as, is he the president of baseball operations? Is that his position?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's up there. And before the signing for Adames, his was the biggest contract in Giants history prior. So
yeah. Was that like 150 or 162?
$167 million for Posey.
Yeah.
So from one heavily paid man to another.
Yeah.
Even though Posey, I think, was more worth it.
Yeah. Well, he won an MVP. Adames hasn't even been an all-star.
Yeah.
Like, he's paying almost $200 million for a non-all-star.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. I think Adames probably should have been an all-star last year, but anyway, it's fine with the Giants. I hate the Giants, so they can go and spend that money all they want. I think that's a dumb deal. Also, sticking with the NL West, let's talk about the Dodgers. The Dodgers went out. They re-signed Tommy Edman.
Yeah.
Tommy Edman got paid. That utility man.
I don't like that contract either. I mean, it feels like, to me, it's like almost David Freese sort of vibes.
Oh, yeah.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get
former
paid.
Cardinal, too.
Or like a Brock Osweiler kind of contract where it's like he's going to get paid big.
Oh, yeah, true.
And then not do anything afterwards.
Brock Osweiler, man. Whew. That's a throwback, even though it's only like probably like 5 years ago. Yeah, Tommy Edman got paid. A lot of it was due to the fact that he delivered in the postseason.
And he did deliver.
Yeah, he did.
Without a doubt.
He did. So good for him to get paid super utility money. Like, he's basically filling that, I think I told you, that Kike Hernandez role where they can throw him anywhere. So he's a very valuable player for Dave Roberts. Mm-hmm. So they probably were like, hey, let's go and just let's throw some money at Tommy Edman and he can stay. He's a good player. He's a decent player. He's not going to wow you in anything, but he's a good role player with it. But the Dodgers did go out and sign Blake Snell, mm-hmm. which was kind of like that first big, like, ah, crap mm-hmm. moment, because as soon as Blake Snell signed, everyone was like, wait, Soto's still interested in the Dodgers. And everyone was rumored to the Dodgers. We're like, the Dodgers are going to get everyone. So Blake Snell, what was it, 5 years, 182. 182, which is, I think, he's going to pitch five innings, maybe five and a third if they're lucky. And he's going to strike out a lot of guys and not allow a lot of hits, but walk a lot of guys.
Yes.
He's won two Cy Youngs, and he's a good pitcher. Mm-hmm. But I don't see Blake Snell being that. He's not worth that much money.
He hasn't thrown more than 180 innings in a year.
Yeah, no. Dave Roberts is going to take him out in the fourth inning, just like Kevin Cash did with the Rays.
Yeah.
It's just he's going to have 85 pitches in four and a third innings, and they're like, all right, no, we're going to take him out. Yeah. I think with the one of the drawbacks with switching to the DH is that you do not let pitchers go a little bit further, because you're like, all right, it doesn't matter. We can just bring in a bullpen guy and have him go a couple more innings because we don't have to pinch hit for him. So this, the DH is having some consequences on the starting pitching and letting pitchers go further. This is going towards a trend where it's not good for baseball, and not the analytics are playing too much into it, and the money is following. What are you going to say?
But he did pitch a no-hitter, a complete game no-hitter.
Yeah,
as well.
That's his second? I think he had one with the Padres. Am I right?
Did he?
Dylan Cease threw the first one this year. I'm sorry. Yeah. I think he had a no-hitter going with the Padres. But, Blake Snell didn't even pitch the whole year. He started late.
He started late. He was on paternity leave. He was also hurt.
Yeah, it was a really weird year with the Giants because he signed late as well. He didn't have that spring training, and he started off horrible.
Yeah.
But then he pitched well from then on, but I don't think he pitched past the sixth inning, okay, other than the no-hitter.
Yeah.
So, and with that, he had three walks. It's just, or three or four walks. But,
yeah,
I've never been a huge fan of Blake Snell. He's a good pitcher. But I don't think Dodgers can pay him. I think some of that is also deferred money as well.
Yeah, so it's, I forget. I think there's deferred in there.
Yeah.
My biggest disappointment is that I was a year off, because I think last offseason I said that Snell was going to go to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
I was just a year late.
Yeah. So, you were right. You had the right mind. It's just a little bit late.
Yeah.
Yeah, and right now everyone's kind of rumored to the Dodgers. Sasaki, I think that's his name.
From Japan.
From Japan, the 23-year-old. Mm-hmm. He's rumored to go to the Dodgers.
Anyone from Japan is going to be rumored to go to the Dodgers.
Yeah, which kind of sucks, because that's just like the closest team to Japan, and it's a big market.
Yeah.
So we need to get some – I think the Phillies need to go get some Japanese players. I feel like they would just be fan favorites for Philadelphia.
Have you had any?
We had So Taguchi. We had Tadahito Iguchi. We had a pitcher one time. What was his name? It was a relief pitcher. But we haven't had much. I've always loved, I've always wanted the Phillies to get Ichiro. That would have been cool. But no, we'll talk about that soon as well. But the, what was it? We were just talking about everyone's rumored to the Dodgers right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Teoscar Hernandez is rumored to go back to the Dodgers, which I can see. I like Teoscar a lot. He's also still getting paid by the Dodgers, even if he signs with another team. Because that contract he signed, the 1 year, he's getting paid like $850,000 a year for the next like 5-6 years. Yeah, and I agree with some of the players for the Dodgers. They're saying like, other teams, I think Tyler Glass now is like, other teams can do this. Like, they have the money to do this, but the Dodgers are just doing it because they're like, why not?
Yeah.
They have this window where like, all right, we'll just pay these guys that we want to win right now. We'll pay them in the long term. They're going to have a ton of marketing with Ohtani. So good for them. Yeah. But all these other teams can do it. The Nationals did it with Strasburg, Scherzer, and a couple other players where they're still paying guys. Mm-hmm. But they got that World Series out of it. So in the end, like, it was worth it. Mm-hmm. So when you think of teams are like, oh, the Dodgers are just like, they're ruining baseball with it, the other teams can do this.
Yeah.
It's not the Dodgers' fault that they're just in a good market.
I've said that for a while. Most teams in baseball can do what the top teams are doing. They just choose not to do it.
Yeah.
And they make excuses about, well, it's not about the money, and we're trying to build our farm system. I'm like, if you have the tools to win, do it.
Yeah.
Just do it. Like, that's why teams like Pittsburgh haven't been in the postseason for decades. I mean, sure, they have a smaller salary than other teams, but you can't tell me that if they really want the aggressive, they can get some good signings in there and build up a team that can get you to a championship. Just choose not to do it.
Yeah, could you imagine if they, in free agency, they're like, we're going to really push for Bryce Harper. Pittsburgh and Bryce, like, can you imagine that? Like, all right, Bryce Harper, then all of a sudden then people start wanting to go to Pittsburgh to play with Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
And it builds it up. Like, you have to get that piece to do it. And hopefully they keep Skeens. Hopefully they re-sign him and they keep him, and then people want to go and play in Pittsburgh.
It wouldn't surprise me if they let him go.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Or they'll trade him for like 10 prospects that never do anything.
I think Skeens is a future Yankee. I really do.
You think so?
I 100% view. He just seems like a good Yankee fit for me. All right, a couple more moves that I want to get to. Kyle Tucker got traded.
Mm-hmm.
He was rumored to a couple teams. Phillies were one of them. The Yankees were one of them. I was surprised that he didn't just... I'm surprised that the Astros wanted to get rid of him. I don't understand.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I think it's because they want to re-sign Alvarez, but, you know, they probably were like... Maybe they didn't think they could sign Alvarez and Tucker to big contracts. But Altuve's slowly aging out. You want to have some of that core to it. So, like, I don't understand what their core is going to be if they don't keep Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez.
Are they going to try and build around Paredes now that they got him?
I don't know if Paredes is necessarily someone you build around. Like, he's a good player, but I don't necessarily... Kyle Tucker's someone that you could build around because he's a 330 home run, 100 RBI, close to 300 hitter. I didn't like Kyle Tucker for some of his comments he made during the Phillies World Series, but I still would have traded for him for 1 year, especially with what the Phillies offered. They offered Bohm and rumored that they offered Bohm and Castellano. So I'm like, yeah, I'd do that. I'd do that in a heartbeat. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But I saw him going to the Yankees, or I saw him going to the Yankees, even though I didn't see him in a Yankees uniform. I think I told you that.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm interested in the consequences of the trade more because now that the Cubs have Tucker, that's going to be more of an impetus for them to get rid of Bellinger. And now, you know, where's Bellinger going to go? And the Yankees are on that list of teams he might go to.
Yeah,
be traded to.
Because he opted in to that deal, which is like $30 million a year, but he has an opt-out after the next year. So, like, when you trade for... It's like a really bad trade type of scenario because it could be 1 year or you could be stuck with a guy who's been so up and down that is... Then you're stuck for $60 million with it. So it's a little bit of a bad deal for trading purposes. It's a good free agent deal, but I think the Cubs did a good job because they could probably re-sign Tucker if he does well, and I could see him staying in Chicago. It's a good market. It's a good stadium for him to play in. Because the Cubs they're kind of like were that rebuilding a year ago, 2 years ago, and then they signed some guys, and they had another disappointing kind of end to the year for the Cubs this year. Mm-hmm. But what other free agency signings did we want to talk about? There was one, or I think there might have been one other.
The legendary Gary Sanchez.
That's right.
To the Orioles.
That's right.
Well, and Tyler O'Neill, don't forget as well.
Oh, the Tyler O'Neill to the Orioles, yes. They moved in. Did you see the GM? He joked about it. He said, oh, yeah, you know, I moved in the ballpark. We moved in the left field because we signed Tyler O'Neill. I wanted to get some more home runs. He joked about it, actually.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good deal for both ends because I think he gets an opt-out after the first year as well for Tyler O'Neill. But I think he's getting paid like close to 15 to 20 first year. So he can go and hit 30. He hit 30 home runs with the Red Sox. He was the best hitter for the Red Sox, or one of them, last year. So I think it's a good deal for the Orioles and for Tyler O'Neill.
Yeah.
It was good.
And looks like greener pastures are awaiting Santander, it seems.
Yeah, so that kind of meant that Santander was going to be somewhere else. I'll be interested to see where he goes, given that is he a switch hitter? No, he's a lefty.
I think he's a lefty.
Yeah. But I don't think he's going to get the money that I think he's going to get.
44 home runs.
Yeah. I know, but it's him and Teoscar are kind of the same type of player. Like that power, raw power, not great defensively. Or Teoscar's actually got a good arm, I think, but decent players in the outfield. But kind of like that middle aged power hitter, one dimensional. But I forgot to mention the Phillies. They actually made one move, and I liked the move, but they need to make more. Jordan Romano, 1 year deal for $7.5 million. It's a bounce back year deal for him because he was injured last year. But he's been an all-star closer. He's been a good closer for the Blue Jays for a couple years now. So he has the stuff. I think he lost a little bit of velocity because of the injury, but it's a good deal for $7.5 million. I don't like the fact that it seems like we're not going after other relievers because, in my opinion, the bullpen definitely needs some help because they let go of Estevez, and right now Hoffman is not re-signed. I think for the Phillies, you need to go and get at least one more. I would go get two more, but that we'll talk about that in a little bit. But Jordan Romano signed. Phillies were rumored with Kyle Tucker. They had very brief mentions with Soto. Like, they were like, oh, yeah, we're interested, but then never actually met with him. Then there were rumors that they were going to have Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, and Kyle Schwarber meet with him. I'm like, okay, that sounds great. And then it never happened. I'm just like, what the... Like, it was such a tease. And then apparently, like, Bohm's been on the market for the entire time, and then Rob Thompson basically came on MLB Network like, oh, no, we're not shopping him. And then 2 days later, they offered him in a deal for someone. And I'm like, all right. So they are shopping him. They just don't say it. It's, I don't know. They're
Wasn't it the A's they were talking to?
Yeah, if they wanted Mason Miller. And Mason, yeah. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I would say no to that too. But I love Mason. I would so trade for him. Here's the thing. I was thinking about this on the car ride here. The Phillies needed to make the trade last trade deadline, not in the offseason. They needed to make that trade for Mason Miller and Brent Rooker last trade deadline, but they didn't. And now they're paying the consequences because the A's are like, all right, we're going to hold on to him now. And they didn't make the trade for Crochet because they didn't want to get rid of Painter, but they were willing to give up Aiden Miller and Crawford, which I don't think I would give up Miller, but Crawford maybe. But the Phillies needed to make that deal at the trade deadline, and they didn't because the A's realized, oh, yeah, we can get some prospects. They were a little bit more desperate. Now they're like, oh, we're going to hold back. We can see what we can get. The Phillies messed up on that, and I'm a little bit upset.
And the Phillies were on a roll at the time, and I guess they felt like they didn't need to make that kind of trade.
Yeah, I'm a little bit upset.
There's hubris in that Phillies organization.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think the Phillies right now are... They're a little bit too comfortable with what they have, and I think there needs to be a couple signings and a trade. I think a trade needs to happen, but the thing is, I don't know who they're trading for now because a lot of the guys that would be really beneficial to this team were part of the trade. Like, if they go and trade for Khalid Bellinger, I'd be like, no, that's not good. Because I don't think he would do well in Philly. I don't think that he would handle Philly well. Like, especially if he, you know, hits like 220 and only has like 15 home runs. He's getting paid $30 million.
Yeah.
I digress right now. Yeah, so that's kind of... Anyone else?
Johnny Lasagna. He.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He re-signed with the Yankees after a little bit of a scare about the Mets. Like, I heard rumors about the Mets, and I was like, oh, please, no. I mean, 2021 was really when he pitched so well. He's been hurt a lot lately, which has stunk a bit, but we're hoping that he could stay healthy because he's really good when he's healthy.
Yeah, I like Johnny.
Yeah.
He's also just got a great last name. It's not Lasagna. That's his nickname.
The Wise Ago.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know. And Yankees will be playing a familiar face this year because he's back in the division with the Red Sox. Aroldis Chapman signed a 1-year contract with the Red Sox. So.
Yeah. I mean, good for him. Apparently, he always wanted to play for the Red Sox. Apparently, it was his favorite team, which is just surprising. I don't know. But, yeah, that's kind of the overall, that's kind of the big free agent signings and trades. Like, there was a couple more trades. Like, Jonathan India got traded to the Royals. Andres Jimenez got traded to the Blue Jays.
Yeah, that one we didn't totally understand when we saw that.
Yeah, I think it was a salary dump for Cleveland because he's getting paid. He had an 8-year, like $110 million deal.
But he's a Gold Glover and they made the ALCS last year.
I don't get it. I really don't. And it just doesn't make sense. Like, I know he wasn't a great hitter last year. And so they're like, why are we going to pay this guy this much money to hit? But I think it was a year too early for that trade.
I agree.
Michael Conforto signed with the Dodgers. I don't know. Michael Conforto's kind of like lost his prestige with me. He's kind of almost like a role player at this point. Pretty much a right-handed hitter, right-handed lefty-facing right-handed hitters, right-hand pitchers. Wow, I can't talk today. Thank you for listening to everyone. But let's see. That's kind of all the free agents that we kind of wanted to talk about, all the big ones. I'm sure there's still Alonzo, Bregman, Corbin Burns. Who else is out there?
Arenado.
Arenado's not a free agent.
Well, I mean, he's getting a trade.
Yeah, the trade. Yeah. Bregman, Burns. Shane Bieber re-signed with the Cleveland. I forgot about that. Yeah. Forgot about that one. Jack Flaherty's a free agent. Tanner Scott's a free agent. Jack Flaherty, Christian Walker, they're all free agents. So those are some bigger names that are still out there that are going to get decent money. But let's kind of focus on the theme of what's happening in the world today. We are in the Christmas season, and we enjoy getting gifts and kind of spreading holiday cheer and joy to everyone.
Including myself, especially
yes,
myself.
Exactly. So why don't we express what we want from our teams for Christmas? Our Christmas wish list, within reason, obviously. You know, we know there's a luxury tax, and we know our teams have made some moves, but within reason. So would you like to go first to explain to who's your GM again?
Cashman?
Yeah, Cashman. What you should tell Cashman, who is Santa Claus, what you would tell him what you want for Christmas.
Huh. Well, we talked a little bit already about Soto leaving. So that's going to leave a potential hole in the outfield that the Yankees will need to fill. Mm-hmm. The easiest solution to that right now is move Aaron Judge back to right field and give Jason Dominguez a shot in center field, being the top prospect. He played a little bit last year, but I think now with Soto gone, he'll get his big shot. Left field is still sketchy. I mean, Verdugo's there, but he didn't have a great season. They could fill in for like utility players like Oswaldo Cabrera, but I want someone who's more of a permanent presence in left field who can field well and, you know, step up to the plate, which the Yankees need in that lineup too, because as we've said in the podcast previously, their lineup is pretty top heavy. I think left field is definitely one area that's needed. I don't know exactly who I'd fill that with right now, but I would definitely want Cashman to get a left fielder. The other place that I want filled is first base. You know, Rizzo's gone now, even though he was pretty injury prone last year. They tried DJ LeMahieu for a bit at first base. I mean, he was fine. But he's washed.
Yeah.
They need an anchor at first base. You need a good first baseman. I was thinking a little bit about it, and as much as I'm not a huge fan of this person, I want the Yankees to try and get Alonso to fill in that hole at first base. I think he'd be a good fit there, not just positionally in that infield, but also in the lineup.
Okay. I could see that. I could definitely see that. Yeah. Kind of like they steal Soto, you steal Alonso.
A little bit, but yeah. I think it's also just, it fills a need more so.
Yeah, I could see that. I could. How much do you think you would pay him?
How old is he? Is he like?
I think he's 30.
30?
He is. Yeah, he just turned 30, December 7th. So.
A couple hundred million?
That's okay. Like.
Over 7 years.
Like 7 years, 150?
175.
Okay. All right. That's a decent amount of money.
They can do it.
Yeah, I know they can do it. Yeah. Would you rather have him or Christian Walker? Because Christian Walker's, I believe, a Gold Glove first baseman, I believe. Yeah, three-time Gold Glover. He's never been an All-Star, but he's has decent power and kind of the same numbers as Alonso in terms of power, and he played in Arizona.
He's slightly older.
Yeah, he is slightly older.
And I don't think he's as good of a hitter as Alonso is.
No. I could see it where, like, the Yankees do it for, like, a 2 or 3 year deal with Walker instead of, like,
investing every... Yeah, I wouldn't do long-term with Walker.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't like Alonso. That's just how it is. Yeah.
Though he's definitely got the gold glove caliber at first.
That's where I would probably be like, yeah, it might be worth to do because it kind of solidifies. Your defense last year was awful.
Oh, yeah.
So, your offense wasn't great either, but I feel like... I almost feel like Christian Walker might be a better fit just because it's like more of a short term, like 2-3 years where you can maybe, do you have any first basemen that are in the future, like prospects?
Only just utility guys. I mean,
gotcha.
Like the people I think of are like Peraza and Cabrera, just guys who can play the infield.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily first basemen.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think Dominguez is kind of like your catalyst. If he definitely delivers and can put up like 25, 30 home runs and, bat at least 250, like, I think that's going to be a big, big thing for you guys because then it's like, all right, yeah, you don't want to have him come up either. He's dangerous.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I view it. So that's your wish list. Christmas wish list.
Yeah. Left fielder, first baseman.
Gotcha. Cool, cool, cool. Now is my turn. Dave Dombrowski, Santa Claus. I'm a little bit upset with you right now. I think you've done a great job. I think you've done a great job, other than signing Tyrone Walker. But right now, I'm a little bit upset with you, mostly because I see the window closing in the Phillies' eyes. Even though they have guys locked up for a long time, I see the window closing in the prime of a lot of these guys' careers. Zach Wheeler has got maybe 2 years left. Aaron Nola's maybe got 3 years left. Harper, 3. Turner, 2-3. We need to win now. We need to win now. And we go and sign Jordan Romano. And that's all we've done. That's all we've done. Where last year we didn't re-sign. The only thing we did was we re-signed Nola and we re-signed Wheeler. That's it. We didn't really go out and get anyone. We were like, oh, we're going to run it back. See what happens when you run it back? Like, We definitely did better, but we didn't make the deals at in the deadline that we needed to. That's where I was comfortable running it back again, running it back last year, but I knew that we needed to make deals at the trade deadline, but we didn't. And now we're paying the price because teams are like, oh, go with the other team or something like that. And teams are holding back on Dombrowski because apparently Dombrowski is just a terrible trade guy. But I need the Phillies to go out and get a bat in this offseason. And I need them to go and get 2 more relievers. I don't care who they are, but they need... Or actually, I do care. I'm going to name them specifically. I think the Phillies should go get Tanner Scott from the Padres, sign him to a 3-year, $45 million deal, and the same thing with Hoffman. 3 or 4 years, $40 million. The thing about bullpen guys is that you can trade them for decent packages and returns because everyone needs bullpen. So if you're struggling and you're like, all right, fine, we're going to trade this guy, you can do that. I think investing in that bullpen is worth that money because then you can just like, all right, if the starting rotation is good. We have a great starting rotation. I'm not worried about that. Especially with Andrew Painter possibly being in the rotation, it's a good rotation. We were rumored to have Ranger be traded, but go get Tanner Scott and re-sign Jeff Hoffman this offseason. That's what I want in the bullpen. Alec Bohm has been rumored off and on in every trade. Same thing with Castellanos. But our outfield was awful this year. Castellanos had a good second half. Brandon Marsh, up and down, not really consistent. Johan Rojas, inconsistent. I was okay with them going to get Kyle Tucker for a year, but it's just not going to happen. We're not going to be able to get Brett Rooker. Just not going to happen. As much as I want to fill the outfield spot, I don't think it's going to actually be doable for something that's worth it. Because I think that the Phillies could go and trade for Bellinger or like Ian Happ or but the thing is, a lot of the guys in the free agency, in terms of like Teoscar or Santander, they're just not going to be what we're looking for. I know that the Phillies have looked into Teoscar. I would love for the Phillies to go and get Teoscar. So as much as I know we need something in the outfield, I don't think they're going to do it. So I'm not going to ask for it. So I'm going to go ask that the Phillies trade Alec Boehm to the Cardinals so they can go get Nolan Arenado. That's what I want. And I'm not doing that because I know that Arenado is my favorite player, but the Phillies need just a little bit more pop and a little bit more fear in, because people didn't fear Alec Boehm. He doesn't bring fear. He's a good hitter, but he fell off the second half of the season, and he's got an attitude problem. Go bring in that veteran guy for a couple years. See if the Cardinals can pay a little bit of that money, but he's not getting paid. The last 2 years of his contract, I think, are $25 million and $15 million. So if he starts to regress, you're not on the hook for a ton of money. He's a Gold Glove third baseman. He's still got some pop. He's not, and I think he'd be good for a change of scenery because he pretty much had Goldschmidt, and that was it in that lineup. But if he has Harper, Turner, Schwarber, Castellanos all lined up right in between him, I think he's going to be able to be okay. So if I had to choose right now, go get Tanner Scott, go get Jeff Hoffman, and go trade for Arenado. Trade Boehm and probably trade a prospect.
I'll comment first on the last part.
Yeah.
I feel like you need to throw someone else in that deal along with Boehm to get Arenado.
Yeah,
I don't think a one-on-one is going
to
do
it. Oh, no. I think a prospect would have to be included. Yes.
The Cardinals wouldn't go for just Boehm and trade Arenado for that.
Oh, 100%. No, I agree. I'm sorry if I was miscommunicating. I meant that you have to get rid of Boehm and to get Arenado, which I'm okay with.
Yeah.
I don't think teams are going to take Castellanos. I think we're stuck with Castellanos, which I'm okay with, but I think we'll probably have to trade not a top prospect, but probably a pitcher with the Arenado deal, but then I think we would ask the Cardinals to send some cash our way because Arenado's got that contract. Do I see it happening? No. Do I want it to happen? Yes, because that's my Christmas wish list. Go get Tanner Scott, Jeff Hoffman, and trade for Arenado. That's what I would want. And I'm not going to be happy unless the Phillies do that.
Yeah. Well, I think you addressed the two big gripes that I've been hearing in Philadelphia the last couple months. But I think the bat is one of the biggest things, because when you watch that division series against the Mets, people were talking about, oh, how the bullpen was blowing games. Where was the offense?
The offense was terrible.
The offense was non-existent. Zach Wheeler was pitching a shutout.
Yep.
And the Mets only made one mistake, and that was, the first pitch of the bottom of the first inning to Schwarber.
Yeah.
And then they didn't do anything after that.
Yeah.
So you need another bat there. I think absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and everyone wants to blame the bullpen for that first game because they gave up the lead. They had one run.
Yeah.
They're under a microscope with everything. So and then the Mets had a single and a walk and a wild. It wasn't like they gave up a home run or something like that. It's just they got these bloop hits with it. So
I guess my point was not to rehash that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think the bat is an underrated need. Not too many people talk about the need of extra bats in that lineup.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a postseason problem. It was a second half problem.
Yeah.
The bats went away.
Yeah.
Now, they do need bullpen help, too. I'm not going to.
Yeah, they lost Estevez and Hoffman right now. Yes. But I want Hoffman and Tanner Scott. I think I wanted Tanner Scott at the trade deadline last year. The Phillies have Mason. I would love Mason Miller, but they're not going to get him. I wanted that Mason Miller and Brent Rooker trade. I would have done that in a heartbeat. Anyway, I digress. That's our Christmas wish lists, everyone. We still got a lot of offseason left. We still got a lot of free agents and trades that are going to happen. They're going to sign, trade, whatever. We will update you with everything, but that's kind of what we got for you today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say? You know, I don't know if we'll get one out before Christmas again, but
yeah. I think a lot of that's going to be dependent on what happens over the next week or so.
Yeah.
I feel like Juan Soto a bit opened the floodgates a bit to all these different signings and trades. So I'm hoping that continues a bit, so we have more to talk to you about.
Yeah.
I really do want to see the Phillies try something bigger.
Yeah.
than just the Jordan Romano move.
They better.
And I was expecting them to, that they haven't yet. Maybe there's a, they're in the rumor somewhere, but I'm hoping that the, by the next time we have an episode, they will do something substantial.
Yeah. If they go get Sasaki, that'd be big. Because I know they were rumored to possibly be interested in him. So, but they're going to have to spend probably Yamamoto money if they do that. So like $300 million.
Yeah.
But I don't see them doing that. I don't see them doing that. Anyway, yeah, that's what we got for you. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments, feedback on, you know, wish lists, what's your Christmas wish list? Tell us what you want your team to do. Let us know. All right. And yeah, that's what we got. So thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Catch you next time.